Colt Schnero chat back in your ears on this Monday morning. I'm Jeremy, joined per usual by Robbie. How you doing, man?
How you doing, Jeremy? We're back in your ear holes.
That's correct. Did you catch the Super Bowl last night?
I did. I watched the first quarter and a half and then fell asleep. So yeah, it was great. So it's the annoying thing about being an NFL and NBA fan in Europe is that it's the timing is just all off. Much like a La Liga fan in America,
yep.
It's just the timing is just all over the place. So you have to be. If it was the Bears, as I'm a Chicago fan, I lived in Chicago for a couple of years, so I'm a Bulls, Bears, White Sox fan. And if it was the Bears in the Super Bowl, I would have stayed up. But the fact that it was, I had no real kind of dog in the fight. I didn't bother making a big effort to stay awake. But I did see your tweet about The Rock's indecision on which. And I was thinking the same because those pants were. I don't know if it was the pants just made his waist look tiny. Like
they did. It made it look like he had shrunk.
Yeah, like not his upper half. He's like a top heavy fraction. Like it was.
Yeah.
What? He's always been huge. Like, but those pants just made it look like he had no arse, no waist. What's wrong with
it? Looked like he was just all upper body, and he needed to pick one shade of red. You cannot do both. It's like a style faux pas.
But hey, listen, we're talking about his fashion. The whole thing was weird, and I don't know how many of your fans our fans are from America, but I just think it was just weird. It was just so weird because, like, what is the Super Bowl exactly? Like, it's just so weird. It's just such a, it's like a entertain. And I know that, like, soccer tournaments are going that way now as well, but
yeah,
like, it's just so bizarre.
Like the Super Bowl is it's not even a game anymore. It's an event. It's festivities.
Exactly. Yeah, and The Rock was on the field. Like, and the teams were just kind of standing behind them waiting.
They're just waiting for kickoff.
Just bizarre, man. Bizarre. Almost as bizarre as an Atletico Madrid game, eh?
Oh, surreal. And an excellent transition into what we're going to be talking about on this edition of the show, Robbie. Atletico's thrilling 4-3 victory over Getafe on Saturday. As Sid Lowe pointed out, the team that used to play games in binary code are now playing 5, 6, and 7 goal thrillers every weekend. And this one, another crazy, bonkers back and forth game. We're going to talk all about it. The most important thing about this game, though, was what happened around it. Barcelona dropping points against Espanyol on Sunday means Atletico can go 3 points clear with a win over Levante on Wednesday. Robbie, I know we've asked it multiple times this season, but is this it? Is this the turning point for Atletico Madrid?
I think it might be a turning point in terms of just embracing the chaos. I think I've said that before, but to be honest with you, I think it's I don't think it's a turning point. I just think this is who Atletico are, though. And I know we'll get onto it now, but just to kind of go back to The Rock and his indecision on what color to wear. Felipe had no such indecision. He was going for red all the way, man. I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but I think this is just who Atletico Madrid are, and I think it speaks to not only the chaos that this group of players seems to not enjoy, but seems to kind of bring out. This group of players are just they just enjoy chaos, I'll say. But also, it speaks to the kind of dysfunction, I think. Not within the dressing room, but within the structures of the team and the squad building and everything. Because, like, I just feel like not that there's some kind of a mutiny or anything like that against Simeone, but I think that all is not well there. There's something just not right here, and it's been kind of evident all season. But just some of the comments Simeone made and Joe Felix made recently to Dermot Corrigan in The Athletic. And
yeah.
I don't know. I just get the feeling that, yeah, everything's not right there at the moment. That the performances speak to that, and the chaotic nature of how this team plays also too, from everything, from the way that they concede to the decision, Felipe's red card, that's just ill discipline. It speaks of a team that's not really tuned in, and kind of, I don't know what's going on, but and I apologize to the listeners for being so kind of vague about it. I don't know anything. I'm not holding nothing back. I'm not saying, but I just get that's just a feeling that I have, that this all is not really well in the camp at the moment.
Because Joao told Dermot Corrigan in The Athletic last week that he knows exactly what the problem is, but it's better if he doesn't talk about it. Simeone in the press conference then says, this is as close to verbatim as I can recall, if Joao knows what the problem is, I'd love for him to say it. I'd love for him to tell me. Not a great thing you want to hear from coach and player, kind of speaking across each other and not being clear or direct. I agree. I don't have any insider info. I'm not claiming to. But at the same time, it just look at how the team has been playing virtually the whole season. A scramble to come back into all these games. No clear, defined style. It seems like there is a fracture in the Cholismo philosophy that has driven Atletico forward for the past 10 years. And it's a real crossroads. It's a real fork in the road. And we're going to have to see if Atletico are able to win enough games with this chaos in order to clinch top four, which is a club objective year in and year out. This win over Getafe could go a long way to doing that, Robbie. It started out so well, 2-0 up in the first half hour. Atletico then concede three times in the next 15 minutes before equalizing at halftime. Felipe gets sent off and the team improves before Mario Hermoso scores an absolutely ridiculous goal. Like, how do we explain Mario Hermoso? How do we explain him?
I think you said it there, you're playing with fire, and it's just a matter of, can this team win enough games in this fashion while they're playing with fire? And
right.
as we know, playing with fire can be fun for pyromaniacs, but it can also lead to serious time spent in the hospital. They are playing with fire at the moment, and we will, from now until the end of the season, see more results like this where Atletico Madrid fans are left celebrating, but we're also it probably also means that we're going to be left scratching our heads more often maybe than not. But Hermoso is a symptom of the dysfunction. He was fine. Mario Hermoso's fine. He's never been a pillar of stoicism, soundness at the back. That's fair enough. But he's never been this bad, or never been this kind of unpredictable. Same with Felipe. And I just think it's just the same can be said for Jan Oblak. I got in a little bit of a debate on Twitter on Saturday night, a tiny one, but it was kind of like people saying about how Koke's dropped off, and Jan Oblak's dropped off, and Felipe's dropped off, and Hermoso's dropped off. It can't just be collective poor form. There's something kind of deeper. Mm. And whether that's tactical, whether that's in the dressing room, whether that's, Simeone's words just kind of not getting through. I don't think it's okay. I don't think it's it explains enough to say, oh, Oblak just went from being the best goalkeeper in the world to being below average. Koke is the same. Felipe the same. Hermoso. And if it is a case of them being individually poor, just not being good enough, why do you keep picking them? Again, back to the fire metaphor, you keep playing with fire, you're going to get burned. Mm-hmm. So in terms of this, and I'm not saying this is in its entirety, I think it's possible. I don't think it's probable. I think it's possible that these players just aren't playing well, and Jan Oblak is kind of regressing to some kind of a normalcy after years of being ridiculous. And I guess it's possible, but I don't think it's probable that every one of these players just happens to be not playing well. I mean it's multifactorial. There's loads of things that can lead to this kind of a collapse, but I just think that these people in different contexts and with a sounder base are probably not making these decisions and getting sent off the way Felipe is and things like that.
Yeah, there's a middle ground. Like Atletico were not and are not as good as they were the first half of last season when they started 16 wins, 2 draws, 1 defeat from the first 19 games. And these players are also, a good chunk of them, are not as bad as they have shown for most of this season. Koke and Oblak are prime examples of how they were two of Atletico's three or four best players last year, and they have just, their form has completely dropped off a cliff. And we've talked about that throughout the season, tried to provide some context why Oblak has struggled, why his metrics have regressed, why Koke just looks overwhelmed every single game. And it's a whole bunch of reasons coalescing into why Atletico games look like this now. But at least it's not, you know, we're not talking about boring goalless stalemates anymore, Robbie. At least we're talking about 7 goals in a single game. We're talking about 6-7 goal thrillers that are fun. It's out of control, but it's fun. And yeah, it's a matter of can Atletico get enough of these results to hold off Barca, to hold off La Real, Villarreal, etc. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, but I also think that, yes, we're not talking about stalemates, but we're also not talking about a team who has decided to play like this.
That's true.
You look at Marcelo Bielsa, and his teams win, lose 4-3. 3-1, 5-2, 6-1, this is a decision, a conscious decision made by him that this is how it's going to be. I don't think Diego Simeone has sat down and said, this is how I'm going to play. I think this is just a byproduct of, there's a difference between controlled chaos and just a game being completely out of control. I think that Getafe game, Atletico were out. It was kind of out of control. It could have gone either way, and it wasn't like Simeone was rubbing his hands together saying, "Yeah, this is how we want it." I think this is just a symptom of the kind of lack of, lack of kind of tactical clarity as to what they're trying to do. So, it should be more fun than it is right now, because I think at the back of it all, we all know that this doesn't really make any sense, which can be fun in its own way, but it's also like, if you bring in a manager like Bielsa, you're like, okay, we're ready for this because this is how he plays. Whereas with Simeone, I think at the back of it, we're sitting here going, well, this isn't fun because it doesn't make any sense. There's no design behind it. I feel like, anyway. And I don't think Simeone has all of a sudden turned into a Marcelo Bielsa either. So I just think it's a case of Simeone and the players at his disposal not really being able to control games the way that they might like.
Yeah, even though Bielsa is a major influence, or has been a major influence on Simeone throughout his playing and coaching career, we have never seen Simeone become a Bielsista as a coach. You know, we have seen, this is the polar opposite of Cholismo's like core tenets that we saw shine so brightly in the earlier years of Cholo's decade-long tenure on the bench. Atletico have actually been better this season when they have gone behind. Stefan Savage said as much after the Barcelona game last weekend, that Atletico only seem to wake up when there's like serious danger, or it takes a goal or two down before Atleti start to play. And they have, I wrote about this on Sunday, they have an aggregate +7 goal difference when trailing by at least one goal in a game. In all other situations, I think Atletico have been outscored this year. It's a team that cannot play with the lead. It's a team that cannot play when the game state is, when the game is level, when the score is tied. They have to be behind before responding. And it really does go against any semblance of control, right? It is the complete opposite of control. Atletico are playing catch-up in virtually every game now, it seems. Or at least the performance is bad enough to where it requires late drama like we saw again on Saturday night. And yeah, I find it hard to believe that this is by design, but maybe it should be. This is the only way that a squad this imbalanced and with this many absences throughout the season is going to win games. No Yannick Carrasco on Saturday, no Jose Jimenez either, and Atletico still found a way to win and was a very important 3 points. But yeah, I echo your concerns that this is not the plan and it's not sustainable. If Atletico can sustain it for 3 more months and get into the top four, then there's going to be another conversation. And there will be massive concern if they don't sustain it and they don't get into the top four and they end up in the Europa League or worse.
Yeah. And that's the problem. On a week-to-week basis, we don't know. Like just back to Bielsa, every week it's the same. You can look forward to the games knowing, having some idea what you're going to get. With Atletico, you don't really know, because they could just perform really poorly and it could be a complete bore fest. But I do think as well, the fact that he played Cunha, I think, is massive. I think Cunha, yes, was excellent. He does the work of two men in a way, and having Luis Suarez there with someone surrounding him with active, energetic players, because make no mistake about it, as critical as I have been of Luis Suarez, he still requires attention. If you leave him on his own in the box, he's going to do damage. Like, right. And he will find those little pockets and spaces. But leaving him up there on his own, it's you might as well be playing with 10 players. Put Cunha beside him, and put the little will-o'-the-wisp, Angel Correa, to the right of him, and all of a sudden you do look a little bit more dangerous, a little bit more unpredictable, creating chances out of nothing, it just breathes life into the team and does give it a bit more energy. And I think Cunha, so impressed by him and his willingness to work, scoring. It's something that does bother me though and annoy me, in that it's so hard for players to earn Simeone's trust, which is a good thing in a way. It keeps order on things, and it's a meritocracy in terms of you have to earn your starting place and stuff. But like Cunha, this is what Cunha offers, and you can't say, oh, but he hasn't done it. He hasn't been given the chance to do it. Play him regularly and see, and let him play. And I think that I think Simeone is going to accept. Well, we won't know until for another couple of games yet. But I think just by starting Cunha beside Suarez, it kind of showed a willingness to maybe try something different. And while not turning into Bielsa, I think maybe embracing the fact that his team can't defend properly, and that by giving that little bit more. Given that it's a bit of an oomph up front, it lightens the load on the defenders. But having said that, like, two of Getafe's goals were penalties, and had nothing really to do with defensive structure either. So it's a tough one to do, but to analyze it when it's kind of individual errors. And then Felipe getting sent off and stuff. So it is tough, but I do think there is by playing Cunha, there's maybe a sign of some acceptance that he needs to try something different in attack.
And Cunha was also unfortunately responsible for one of those penalties. The first one that Unal dispatched, sending Oblak the wrong way, it made it 2-2. But yeah, to your point on Cunha and Correa as well, I want to talk about both of them. Cunha just offers so much that no other forward in the squad does. We've both written about him a bit this year, and I think we were both lukewarm about his arrival over the summer. He was a bit of an unknown quantity coming from a bottom half team in the Bundesliga. There were concerns over his work rate and his track record, but he's put a lot of concerns to bed over the majority of this season. Better than a goal and an assist averaged per 90 minutes. He's not on a period of like hot finishing or finishing luck. His expected goals and his goals are, I think he's around 4 expected goals. He's scored 5 in under 600 minutes, which is the best goals per 90 return in the entire team. He offers a lot of physicality, a lot of energy, intensity, athleticism, and he's becoming a very good finisher. Like, this is a guy who could replace Suarez as the team's number 9 because he's got those reference point qualities about him. And I do think Simeone needs to consider making him, giving him more regularidad. He needs to give him those consistent minutes because he offers something that really helps the team. Even if Atletico aren't going to transition to the high-pressing style I think we both want them to transition to, Cunha still offers so much, especially when he is partnered with Suarez, who doesn't do any running anymore and is going to attract a lot of attention wherever he is because his reputation precedes him. And, I mean, what can we say about Angel Correa as well? His first double-digit goal season, 2 more against Getafe, the reigning player of the month. I'd argue he's simply Atletico's best player, like, all season, given his availability, his consistency, everything he's offered. I wasn't sure Correa was going to reach this level, but it's a testament to him and a testament to Simeone and the coaching staff for continuing to nurture him, develop him, and believe in him. He's having an exceptional season, and he's so fundamental for Atletico this year.
Yeah, and I it's funny because I didn't really believe in him. I actually had, I don't want to go all insider here, but a data analyst for a European club messaged me when a couple of years ago when Angel Correa was being touted as possibly leaving Atletico, and they asked me if the underlying numbers, because they had the person in question had an idea of what Angel Correa did based on numbers, based on whatever the numbers they had, and I said no, like, I think he's a bit unpredictable, I'm not entirely sure if he's ever going to fulfill the potential and stuff, and the person said okay, that's kind of what the idea I had, and not entirely sure if he's worth it, whatever, and I was happy saying that the price in question wasn't merit that price, and I think it would have been a waste of money. Now I'm looking at him going, in the right situation, he could score you 15, 20 goals a season.
Sure.
I don't know how many he's on now, but he could score regularly 15, 20 goals and provide maybe 8 to 10 assists as well. He's kind of playing in a withdrawn role under Simeone, and Atletico obviously famously don't create that many chances. So I mean, I think him in the proper environment could be what maybe Atletico thought João Felix was going to be. So the 55 million that Atletico, and that's probably why Simeone maybe didn't want to let him go either, because he saw something in him, and I think Correa is showing now that he would have been worth that fee, and that number probably wasn't too far off the mark, I think.
He's certainly showing that this season, really over the past calendar year. His consistency has just been well beyond anything else, any other patch of form in his career. He was, for the first 4 or 5 years of his career, a really frustrating player who showed he had this in his locker, but it never really came out consistently. The past calendar year, give or take, he's been the player that he was touted to be coming out of Argentina when Atletico bought him from San Lorenzo in 2014. He's been great, and without him, I shudder to think where Atletico would be without his team leading 10 goals. Yeah, he's genuinely got a shot at 15, 17 goals in all comps this year if he keeps it up, and he's been healthy throughout the season. Hopefully for Atletico's sake that continues. They will need him. He'll be available against Levante. Felipe Montero will not, Robbie, after his the highest of high boots against Mauro Arambari before the hour. Just filthy. No idea what he's thinking. Completely lost his head. And I don't really think it's a coincidence the team improved without Felipe. There's been chatter that Atletico were going to give him a 2-year renewal. I don't know why they would.
Yeah, weird. I have no idea. Seriously dangerous, I was going to say. So Atletico didn't appeal it then, no?
Not that I've seen. Yeah. I mean, how can you appeal that?
I know, I was only joking. Yeah, I mean, geez, the most ambitious appeal, the most optimistic appeal of all time. But no, I mean, really, really kind of a dangerous tackle too. Aaron Barry kind of, it frightened him. It really shocked him that he was after getting kicked there. And the referee had no choice other than to give him the red card. Maybe Atletico are banking on the fact that Felipe isn't getting too many offers at the moment, and that they can get him on a reduced wage, and that he won't be this bad again. I'm not sure. I mean, he doesn't. Who starts for Brazil? Does he start for Brazil? No.
No, I don't think he's got a Brazil cap in the last year.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not entirely sure what Atletico's thinking is behind that, but I'm sure they're kind of thinking it can't stay this bad, can it? They're banking on some kind of regression to the mean, but he's been a liability this season, same with Hermoso, and, I wonder, is Jimenez available on Wednesday?
If he tests negative, I assume he'll be in contention, but it's a quick turnaround. Carrasco won't be. Jimenez, I suppose, could be because he tested positive before a few days before Carrasco. So Atletico will need Jimenez back. The points per match with Jimenez in the team versus Jimenez out the team is pretty staggering. The difference is pretty wild.
Yeah, and I was actually just thinking about him recently in that he hasn't been the player we thought he was going to turn into, but he does offer some kind, a little bit more solidity than the rest. And I think Simeone is gone back to a 4-4-2 now and probably will stick with that with Reinildo playing there and with Was coming back in a couple of weeks. I think he'll probably stick with that. So he only needs two healthy central defenders. And with Savage and Jimenez, I think you've got your pair, and then Hermoso and Felipe as plan B.
Assuming Jimenez and Savage are healthy, yes, but it's difficult because at least one of the two of them is going to miss a big chunk of games. They both have missed games already this season. Jimenez has had multiple absences. Savage missed a couple months with an injury. So if they can both stay fit and available and in the team, it could work out just fine, but question is, are they going to be healthy enough? Because Felipe can't keep playing. Felipe's defensive instincts are just gone. He takes so many wild risks and chances that he doesn't need to take that you could never imagine Godin or Miranda taking. Felipe is just not at the level required. And Hermoso hasn't been either, but I will give him credit, and Simeone as well, for changing the game through his substitutions. All three of DePaul, Joao Felix, and Hermoso contributed to the winning goal. DePaul took the free kick. Felix hit the diving header across the face of goal that Hermoso touched down and then hit the overhead kick past David Soria. Hermoso is such an interesting player to me because he plays with this confidence that doesn't seem warranted, that doesn't seem like he should be playing with. And I think that confidence and perhaps outrageous self-belief is the reason why he can pull off stuff like an overhead kick in the 89th minute and then do things like concede that penalty against Liverpool earlier this year or play such a terrible game against Barcelona last week. He's such a weird player, but without him, Atletico would not have those extra points they picked up against Valencia and Getafe that could be decisive in the top four race.
Yeah, and I think that's also why it's just so hard to... Well, it's so hard to talk about player development and what makes certain and kind of figure out what it is that separates the cream of the crop from the rest. And it's Hermoso physically, technically, can do it all. The problem is, like you look at a guy like Virgil van Dijk or someone like that, and he plays right on the edge, but he's always in control. Diego Godin is a good example. Right on the edge, but always in control.
Mm.
Obviously, it can spill over every now and again, but it's a rare event. With Hermoso, he's doing that, but too often he lets his emotions get the better of him, or he commits it. And that's these are the tiny things that make the big difference. Like, because Hermoso, and he has that kind of a swagger because he is a ball playing centre back, and that's how he fancies himself, and that's who he was at Espanyol.
Yep.
And that's who he was initially with Atletico, and then he can still be that guy and that ball playing left sided centre defender in a back three. And I think technically and physically he has it. It's just mentally, where does he go? He just goes sometimes, and it's hard to stamp that out. But it's also important to protect him from himself and not put him in those situations. But having said that too, there are times that you have to defend, and you can't protect him all the time. Unless he just sit him on the bench, so that's up to him to develop. And I don't know if those kind of wild streaks, I don't know if you can ever get them out of a player. Hermoso is really interesting because he does offer something to Atletico as a left-sided centre back who can also kind of sometimes play as a fullback and likes to kind of push forward and get involved in the passing game, but. And who can score bicycle kicks, but then at the same time lose you a game against Liverpool with ridiculous decision making.
He's kind of a test case for where Atletico are. The unpredictability, the wild swings in momentum, and the consistently shifting variables. He's really emblematic of where Atletico are, both positively and negatively, because you never know which Mario Hermoso you're gonna get. It's the two game-winning goals in 3 weeks to complete two bonkers rallies, or the guy who is a defensive liability alongside Felipe, especially when they play together. Big, very important action from Joao Felix setting up that goal for Hermoso, and I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the season. Hopefully for his sake, that's a turning point for him individually. He's able to kick on from there. We talked about it on the last couple podcasts. We haven't really seen it yet. Neither of us is particularly sure that we're going to, but that was an important moment for him. It showed that he's willing to do a little bit of dirty work, you know, a diving header between two players, very instinctive play, and turned out to be a winning play.
Yeah. But I guess this is what we've been talking about for a while now, in that getting him into those situations, not crosses into the box per se, but giving him chances to touch the ball when he's facing goal, and he can do damage. He has good vision. He has good. He's able to kind of playing a step or two ahead of the defense, and I think it's just a matter of him getting enough game time to work himself into to kind of understand what's the best way to affect this Atletico Madrid team. And the problem is, and has been, and will probably continue to be, is that he's playing 30 minutes with different surrounding cast, then he's starting for, and he gets injured, and then he gets suspended, and then he doesn't start two games, and then he comes on for 15 minutes with Atletico 3-0 down, and he's just, there's no consistency there for him, and we won't rehash that whole discussion, but that, like, because partly his fault, but it's also you can't expect a player to develop properly when he's not being given that game time. But then at the same time, this is the kind of contradiction of the whole thing, in that when you are given a chance, you have to prove that you're worth it next time, which Joe Felix hasn't done. So
yeah.
it's a kind of a catch 22 situation with Joe Felix at the moment. But I think that kind of quality and that kind of ability to change games, he still has that. That hasn't gone away. It's just a matter of whether he's given the chances to show it, and he's put into the right environment situations. remains to be seen.
And we both read his athletic interview with Dermott. He's a very confident kid. Again, whether it's warranted or not is another discussion, but he's very ambitious. He wants to win the Ballon d'Or. He wants to win multiple trophies at Portugal and at club level. Who knows whether it's going to be at Atletico or not, but he's a guy who talks a big game and hasn't always backed it up. And against Levante on Wednesday, Robbie, is a big chance for him to do so. This is a must-win for Atletico as we switch gears to the game in hand that they're going to make up at the Wanda Metropolitano Wednesday night. Levante are awful. Objectively awful. One win this season, the entire year. Almost certainly going to get relegated. And they have won only one of the past 12 meetings with Atletico in Madrid, but that one win was last year. The 2-0 victory that kind of started the second half tailspin for Los Rojiblancos. We know that Levante always give Atletico a very tough game away at the Ciudad de Valencia. But they have one win from 23 this season, Robbie. Knowing what we know about Atletico and the unpredictability contained therein, do Levante have a serious shot at an upset, or will Atletico shut up shop and get and cruise to 3 points here?
Back to the point I made earlier, I think it just kind of depends on which Atletico Madrid decides to show up, how the game presents itself to them in that. Because I find this Atletico team is very reactive to what's happening rather than putting their stamp on the game. We don't even know if they have a stamp, but it's rarely decided this is how we are going to play. It's more kind of what does the game present to us today, and let's play within the confines of these rules that have been set out as soon as the first whistle blows. That could turn into Atletico conceding an early goal, Atletico scoring an early goal, and just kind of going with the flow. And that's kind of what Atletico are right now. They just go with the flow. And you said it earlier, can they win enough games by going with the flow? They have enough talent to. If you just go with the flow against Levante and go man on man, let's just go stand toe to toe here and go with them, Atletico Madrid should beat Levante comfortably. But whether or not Atletico decide to fall apart at the back or not, that remains to be seen. So they should beat them comfortably, but whether or not they will is an entirely different question. But just, I know we're talking about Levante now, but this is actually kind of, and I know that it's different because Real Madrid had Cristiano Ronaldo, and I'm not saying that Atletico are going to win the Champions League, but like, this is the kind of situation, like, you're playing Manchester United now in the Champions League, and that's a winnable game. Yeah. You just embrace the chaos, go with it, and you've got plenty of talent there to maybe win something. And I'm not saying Atletico Madrid is the favorite; they're going to win the Champions League. I would highly, highly doubt that they will. But it's not out of the realm of possibility either. Like, that they kind of just go on a little bit of a run, and maybe because, like, this whole debate we were having about expected goals and Atletico's tactics and stuff like that, I don't think it's good. It's not good. But I also don't think it's as bad as what we've seen. Fix a couple of those mistakes. Suarez maybe hits a tiny patch of form, which is completely within the realms of possibility. Joe Felix hits a bit of form. Simeone just kind of hits, like, lands on a formation he likes. Correa keeps doing what he does. You've got Reynildo solidifying things. And Condogbia to say, okay. And all of a sudden, I mean, the sky is not the limit for Atletico, because they've shot themselves in the foot to the point where they're not going to catch the leaders in La Liga. But there is still a couple of months left here where they can maybe do something good. And I wouldn't be putting any money on that, on it happening. But it is within the realm of possibility. And I think the debate over whether or not Simeone has lost it, I don't think it's as bad as it's looked. And again, it's not good, but I think it's kind of somewhere in between. And if he can just kind of get kind of fix one or two of these things, and all of a sudden Atletico are a very dangerous beast in the Champions League, and possibly maybe a top three spot. So yeah, we'll see, and it should be, whatever happens, it should be, I won't say fun, because I don't think but it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
And in the Champions League, it's from this point on, it's only 7 games to the final. And we have seen Champions League winners in the past that may not have quote unquote deserved it, but you get on a run, you know, freak things occur, like the expected goal discrepancies and other statistical statistical oddities like that, they don't really matter in that short a competition. So who knows? I absolutely think Atletico can get past Man United. Like, the two teams have similar flaws in terms of the playing style, the structure, the personnel, and how they're deployed. So that's going to be a shootout. And if Atletico can find some way to exercise or those ghosts of the past with respect to Cristiano Ronaldo, then I think Atletico can absolutely get through. Probably not going to go much farther than the quarterfinal, but given how poorly the team has played the majority of the season, I think there would be quite a few people who would say, hey, Atletico gets to the last 8 of the Champions League. That's not too shabby a return, considering they almost finished bottom of their group. And what we can say about Atletico this year is that they can score goals. This Atletico does have that capacity. Only Betis and Madrid have scored more goals than Atletico have this season. Granted, Atleti are in the bottom half of La Liga when it comes to goals conceded, but they can score. And this is why I think their best shot from here on out in La Liga and the Champions League, especially in the Champions League with the away goals rule now taken out of the rule book, just outscore as many teams as you can. Stack the deck accordingly to where you can, don't completely ignore the defensive side of the game. Simeone never will. A pragmatist never does. But this is the way Atletico are going to win enough games. Whether they actually do it through all this chaos we'll see. It's up for debate. We've been debating it for the last half hour or so. But yeah, this Levante game Wednesday is massive. Levante have the worst defense in La Liga. They've conceded 50 times. They have one win, 11 points from 23 games. This has got to be a victory to get a little bit of breathing space against Barcelona, La Real, Villarreal, even Athletic, who are still hanging out around the top 6. And then you have the United game in a little over a week. And I think it's definitely winnable. I think that's a tie that Atletico are going to have to embrace the chaos, particularly with the away goals rule no longer emboldening them to play defensively, to play negatively.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so let's see. I mean, from here on out, it's a lottery. So, buy your ticket and settle in for the ride.
That's right. Enjoy the ride. That'll do it for us on this edition of the program. Robbie, thank you so much for hopping on today.
No problem at all, Jeremy. I'm sure we'll be back on Wednesday anyway.
Yes, we'll be back in just a couple days' time for Atletico and Levante. We're going to talk about that on the next edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. In the meantime, keep it here on Into the Calderon on social media, on our Patreon page as well, patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. You can also subscribe to the show on Spotify, the Colt Gennaro Chat and the Partido a Partido podcast, both available on Spotify as part of the Atletico Madrid podcast network. Make sure you subscribe and listen. Thank you all for listening to this edition. We'll chat with you soon. Adios.